How many of you really believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Let me see your hand. All right, put it down. How many of you believe that the Bible is correct when it talks about heaven? When it talks about hell? Remember, I saw you raise your hand. I want to talk to you about a subject that I have no desire to talk about. And that is the subject about where a person spends eternity that never trusted Christ as Savior. Is the Bible true? Is it for real? This has bothered me and plagued me and burdened me ever since the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. Because the reason I trusted the Lord was because I wanted fire insurance. I had no desire to spend eternity in hell. I never trusted the Lord because I loved God. I didn't trust Him because I wanted to have a relationship with the Lord. I had no desire for this intimate fellowship with God. I didn't want to go to hell. And that's the truth. I've heard some people say, well, that's a bad motive. I think it's a pretty good motive. I think that's really the most honest motive that most people have. So I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Behind everything that we do in our church, the radio ministry, the ranch, Friday night soul winning, Awana, the YouTube ministry, the internet, everything we do is because of this message today. This is what's underlying everything that we do. Because, you see, you don't need someone to down the cross and pay for your sins to keep you from going to a place that doesn't exist. So either it exists and it is real and we need a Savior. If this is true, that there really is a hell, then it's important that we do what we can to reach people while we can. I can't go to sleep without thinking about it. I don't wake up without thinking about it. I don't do anything without this being on my mind. It's always on my mind. Here in the book of Luke in chapter 16, Jesus Christ, God who created the heavens and the earth, is telling this. It is not a parable. It's a true story. There was a certain man in verse 19, certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. One of the things that happens to them is not so much what happened to them while they were living, is that they both died. They both died. They lived, but they died. The rich man and the poor man, they both died. And all of us are going to die. We didn't ask to be born, but we are going to die. And everybody in the whole world is going to die. Many of the people that I've led to the Lord over the years, it wasn't that great of a moment. Will you trust Christ as Savior? Yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. 20, 30 years later, they'll give testimony that I trusted Christ as my Savior when Yankee talked to me. I trusted the Lord when Yankee talked to me. I trusted the Lord when Yankee talked to me. And there's thousands upon thousands and thousands of people that have repeated that same phrase over and over again for the last 55 years. And I thought, what if I had never told them? What if I had never taken this seriously? However I am, whatever I'm about, however boring I may be, there's going to be people in heaven that's going to be glad that I was the way that I was. There's people that would probably like me if I would be a little bit different, a little nicer, sweeter, kinder. I wish that too. But I am's what I am's. And that I do not and cannot apologize for. I just don't want people to go to hell. So I try to do whatever I can. I try to challenge and motivate other people to do the same thing. It isn't that I try to get people to do something that I don't do myself, but I do. Have you ever noticed that at the end of most all of my sermons, I pull out my wallet and I do that little wallet deal? Have you ever noticed that? You didn't notice that? You haven't even paid attention before? You didn't know I did that? Why do you think I do that? Because I don't have anything else to say. It's just a nice way to close. Or maybe there's somebody watching, somebody who heard this message, maybe on YouTube, maybe on radio. They may never hear how to go to heaven if I don't tell them. You see, I believe it's important. And I may not be a lot of things, but I want to, when I leave this old world, I just want to be somebody that Yankee cared. Yankee wanted to make a difference. I strive to reach people for the Lord. I didn't maybe do all the other things that would have made a great preacher, never built great big ministries. But that's not important. I just want to be faithful to do what I can with what I have wherever I am. And so these people, they died. And then in verse 23, Abraham went to Abraham's bosom, or Lazarus. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, been in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And you can read the rest of it at another time. I want you to look there in your notes. Look at your notes. This is one of the lectures. There's 30 of them in my Prophecy 1 class. But I've got to try to do whatever I can to challenge and motivate kids that take a college class. I don't want them just to learn the Bible that makes them feel good and they sit around and then twiddle their thumbs and do nothing. If this doesn't get burned into their mind, then I failed miserably. Because, see, if this isn't real, there's no reason to learn the wallet illustration. There's no reason to talk to people. There's no reason to do anything that we do. Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In your verse, look what he has here. Revelation 20, verse 10. If the Bible is true, what is he saying here? This is toward the end of the whole Bible. Why leave this in our minds? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The beast and the false prophet are individuals. They're not angels. They're individuals. They've been there for over 1,000 years from the time of the end of the tribulation period. 1,000 years pass and they're still there. The devil isn't somebody who rules in hell. The devil is going to be punished in hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Number one there, the word Tartarus. I have it on one of the tests that I give to the kids. Is this Tartarus or tartar sauce? It's a name that's only found once in the Bible, but it's a place for the angels that sinned against God. And it's only used at one time in the Bible, but it is a place. The word Gehenna, in the Greek word for the lake of fire, it is mentioned 12 times in the Bible, one time by James, 11 times by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spoke more on hell than he spoke on heaven. That's why we needed a Savior. You see, if there is no hell, then there's no need for one. When we go to sleep at night and you don't exist, you don't mind, you don't even know anything, well, just if you never woke up, what's the big deal? If you're like being annihilated, you don't exist anymore. But the Bible teaches that there is life after death. And that a man is either going to be with the Lord or in hell. That means your mother. That means your father. That means your brother, your sister. That means all of your relatives. If they do not trust Christ as Savior, if the Bible is true, they will go to hell. Do you believe that? You said you believe that this is the Word of God. Do you believe what God said about heaven and what God said about hell? Do you really understand? These people are going to hell if they do not trust Christ as their Savior. And if that's true, Have you done whatever you can to reach them? Have you talked to them? Or are you afraid? Are you ashamed? Or maybe you don't really believe there's a hell anyway. Or it's not going to be as bad as the Bible teaches it. You see, this motivates me. There's two great motivating forces in this world, and that's one is love and the other one is fear. I love God so much because He kept me from going to hell. He has saved me from hell. I can't go to hell. But I have a fear of all of those people that are going to spend eternity there. Look at the next statement. Letter B, you may say, I believe in heaven, but I can't believe in a hell. Jesus was never talking about hell. Jesus spoke more on hell than anybody else. And yet, some people soothe their conscience by just denying there's a God that takes care of everything. So if I don't believe there's a God, then God doesn't exist. So God only exists in my mind, so because I made Him and I can destroy Him, if that's true. I had a man tell me the other day, I was talking to him, and he says, I'm an atheist. This is at the VA hospital. He says, I'm an atheist. I says, do me a favor. He says, what? And I says, don't die. The moment you die, you'll believe in God. The moment you die, you'll believe in God. Because you're going to be in a literal fire burning hell. Letter C, Satan does not rule hell. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Somebody else is going where the devil and his angels are going to be. I used to think Satan ruled hell. That when I was there, he would stab me with a pitchfork every time I hollered for water. I'd picture him in a red union suit with horns and a long tail. So on the left of my notes, I wrote down potted meat cans. You ever see the potted meat cans? The little devil in a red union suit and the forked tongue and pitched the tail. Yeah, you've seen it, but that's not the way he really looks. The Bible describes him as an angel of light. He comes to deceive. And he'll do it through a lot of people. You see, he can use your mom. He can use your dad. He can use your brother and your sister. He can use your next door neighbor. You see, Satan can use anybody at any given time to tell you a lie, to get you to believe a lie. But Christ says he is a liar. So he gets people to lie for him. He wants to keep you blinded so that you never trust the Lord. He'll try to deny. There is no God. Don't worry about it. There's no hell. There is no heaven. Why throw your life away doing other things for religion? This life is short. Live for yourself. Do whatever you want to do. And don't think about God and the Bible and Christ and truth. Just let that stuff go. And He'll just rock you to sleep. Just rock you right to sleep. I was scared and I didn't want to go there. For 18 years, no one would tell me how to go to heaven. Satan will not be running around in a red union suit. The lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. They will be in Gehenna. This is not the place of torment in Sheol. That's the final hell. If you was to die right now, today, you would not be going to Gehenna, the final lake of fire. You see, in the Old Testament, Hebrew is Sheol. In the New Testament, the Greek word is Hades. And they're the place of the departed dead. And it's the same place. But that's where you go until the great judgment. When you stand at the great white throne judgment, and God will judge you according to your works. And the reason you'll be judged according to your works is because you did not trust Christ to be saved by grace. So God will use your works. And He says, every idle word shall condemn you in judgment. Matthew chapter 12. Every deed, God keeps the book. God has all the evidence that He needs to convict you. You see, you're not waiting to be condemned. You are already condemned because you do not believe. The world is not going to eventually be condemned. You're going to have to stand before the judge And he's going to have the evidence of why you're going to hell. And that's the truth. And that's what he said. Look at number three at the bottom down here. How long does the torment in hell last? I've had people tell me, says that when you die, you burn up and that's all there is to it. It's over like that. Well, that won't be so bad. That won't be so bad. You can endure any time for a short period of time if it's real short. But this is not what the Bible says. The Bible says it is for all eternity. Look at the verse we have here, letter A. And these shall go away into everlasting, what's the next word? Punishment. If the word everlasting means everlasting, when we talk about having everlasting life, eternal life, well, when he uses it for eternal punishment, eternal wrath, then the word eternal means the same thing. You see, it can't be true in one place and not true in the other. This is true. Let's say, for example, here you are today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior. If you died right now, immediately, you don't go past, go and collect $200. Immediately, as the Bible says in Luke 16, they lift up their eyes in hell. That quick. Do you realize how close you are to hell? You're just one heartbeat away. One step. One breath. And if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you're that close to hell. Now you tell me, what's the most important thing in all the world for you to do? Is it paying your bills? Is it getting a haircut? Doing your fingernails? Doing your toenails? Is it getting a job? Making up with your husband? Spanking the kids? Well, in one heartbeat, you could be in hell for eternity. But that's not important because you can't see it. And you, by the way, you know you're going to live forever. You're not going to die. I'm a preacher. I do funerals for people of all ages and sizes. If you died right now, that quick, you could be in a place called hell. And you will be there until God has that great white throne judgment. And he keeps the books. And he's going to bring out all the evidence. And you want your day in court? You're going to get your day in court. The court of divine justice. Where God will be proven to be true and just in sending you to hell forever. They will be cast into hell. People aren't going to be jumping in. You know, freely on their own. Whee! Now they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. As the Bible says. Look down at letter B at the bottom. Remember, these verses, if you see them in your Bible, I want you to be understood. I didn't write it there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, if it's in your Bible, I didn't put it there. It must be that God put it there. And if it's in there, it must be the truth. But look what he said. If it doesn't mean what it says on the surface, what does it say? What does it mean? And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To obey the gospel, well, what is the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is obey the gospel. What does it say do? Believe on Christ. It means trust Jesus Christ as the one who died on that cross and paid for your sins. And God said he will save you from hell. There's a reason why he is a Savior. There's a reason why he came. There's a reason he paid for our sins. Because he doesn't want us to go to hell. And we're going to be eternally in a literal fire burning hell and never get out. Think about it. Never get out. Forever is a long time. Forever. And yet some people say how much they love their mama, their grandmother, their grandfather, and their aunts and their uncles. And yet they'll never tell them how to go to heaven. Well, I don't want to offend them. Blessed be God. What do you think is going to happen when they go to hell and they find out you knew and you never told them because you were concerned about your feelings? Thou hypocrite. Don't you mention about I love my mother and my father and my brother and my sister and my relatives, and yet you can't tell them how to go to heaven. Who has deceived you that you would so deny them the opportunity to trust Christ as Savior? This burned inside of my brain and I couldn't stand it. I had to reach my mom. It took me 5 years, but I finally did it. And it took me years to get my sisters to trust the Lord. But I didn't want my sisters to go to hell or my children to go to hell. I may not reach the world, but I wanted to reach those that were closest to me because I cared. I wanted to make a difference. And you can go make your money, make your thousands, build your homes, have your nice cars. Those aren't bad things. But if they keep you from that which is the most important thing, then God have mercy on you. You can talk about how much you love Jesus, but if you can't talk to a soul about where he's going to spend eternity, you don't love Jesus. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing, you're not following. If you're not a missionary, you're a mess. And you need help. You need to get right with the Lord. Because I can't understand how come some people can live their whole Christian lives and never tell a soul as though it doesn't really matter. If this is true, then it does matter. Look at the next verse, or part of this verse. He says, who shall be punished with, get this, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, when we do that little wallet illustration and we say that our sins have separated us from God, that's where it comes from. We will be eternally separated from God. I've lived 59 years since I've known the Lord. But tomorrow will be 77 years on planet Earth. You know, 7 and 7 is the number of perfection. If I can't get it any better than that. Do I hear 78? But one of these days, it's going to all be over. But the most important thing that's ever happened to me in 77 years was that day in a little old living room, sitting on a couch in the middle of the dark night when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Nothing before and nothing since has ever been that important. I'm thankful for my wife and my kids and my grandkids, but that's not as important as that day I trusted the Lord. Because I'm going to die one day if Christ should tarry. And so are you. Don't you want to make a difference? Page 2. This is not talking about the rapture when Christ comes in the air for us. This is talking about when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period in power and great glory, and he sets up his kingdom upon the earth. And there'll be a multitude of people that will be cast into hell. And the reason is because they never trusted Christ as their Savior. The next statement here, this speaks of when Christ will be revealed in glory, come back to rule the world. Those who obey not the gospel are those who do not believe the gospel. To not obey the gospel is to not believe it. Nobody can make you believe. I can't make you believe anything. I can't make people come to church. I can't make people love the Lord. I can't make you reach anybody. Because if truth doesn't work, then nothing else will. I don't have a magic wand that makes people do things. I can only tell you, this is what God's Word says. Does it make an impact on your life? When I understood this, I can never be the same again. I can never be the same. I can't quite wash it out of my mind. I can think, well, it's not that important. How many times over the years? I've never had battles, so-called, with lost people. All of my troubles and most of my problems have always been with God's people who have tried to stab me in the back, lied about me, and said all kind of things, evil and so forth. And I would wonder over and over again, is this worth it? Is it worth it? But it reminds me of the little boy that walked down the beach, and there was thousands of little fish that was all over the place, and they were all dying. So he was going up, and he was getting one and throwing it back in the water. They'd pick up another one, but there was thousands all over the place. This one old man walked up and said, "Son, you're wasting your time. It's not going to make any difference." He says, "It does to the one I throw back. I may not reach the world, but the ones I have reached, they'll be thankful for all eternity." As Paul says in Thessalonians, that ye are my joy and glory in the presence of the Lord. When you get to heaven and you see the people that you reached, that is your crown of rejoicing. Look at the next statement. Let her see. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Number one, there's how do you know the devil and Satan are the same? Revelation 12:9 tells us so. So the devil and that old serpent, that old wicked one, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he's not going to be rolling hell and jabbing you with a pitchfork when you holler for water. But remember, Jesus is the one who told the story about the rich man. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, been in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And cried out, says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may come and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame." And when he realized that he could not get out, he says, "Send Lazarus, or somebody can talk to my father. I got five brothers, lest they come to this place of torment." You see, people in hell don't want you there. I had a man tell me one time, he said, "Well, if my mother's in hell and my brother's in hell, I might as well go join him." They don't want you. They don't want you there. I used to think, well, whenever you die, you just go to hell and open up those barroom bars, doors, and say, "Okay, let's all get together here and take up a collection and we'll just air condition this place." Might sound funny, but when reality hits, fun's over. Do you realize how today, right now, this moment, you could think about your life and how great God's been to you and the goodness of God, and you can smile and be so happy inside and filled with joy, and the very next moment be in hell. Because you went to church and you tried to live a good life. And you even supported things and you sung in the choir. You sung and you did all the right things, and but you never trusted the Lord. You trusted all your good works. Won't that be an eye-opener? When they will be, "Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? And have not we done many wonderful works?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye wicked. I never knew you." Never knew you. Never born into his family. You're not a child of God until you're born into his family. It has to be referring to somebody, doesn't it? Whoever that's talking about, it has to refer to somebody is going to do that. And somebody is going to hell. If it's not you, who? If it's not you going to hell, who is going to hell? Could it be anybody you know? I've had people say, "Well, I don't want to talk to them about it because, you know, it's a very, that hurts people to talk about where you're going to go when you die." Nobody wants to talk about that. Okay, when do you want to talk to them about it? You don't want to talk to them while they're living, so when do you want to talk to them about it? When they're dead? You only got one option. A poor presentation would be better than no presentation. Look at the next statement. There is no end to the torment. Letter D. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. This is to the people that are in the tribulation period, which is right ahead of us. Well, the Bible says that there's going to be a one world government, one world religion, and people are going to have a mark of the beast. And he says they'll put it into their forehead or in their hand. Little chips. Numbers. Of course, that'll never happen. I mean, nobody's going to ever fall for something like that. Where you can't buy or sell unless you have a certain number. That's ridiculous, right? This was written 2,000 years ago. I mean, this is not going to take place. I've already seen it. It's been on the news, and people are already getting a nice little number. Just think, you can't buy or sell. Huh. Got a Social Security number? Now they even give it to the kids before they go to work, right? Everybody's getting one. Look at the next statement. Letter E. The beast and the false prophet exist how long in hell? Revelation 19:20 tells us that the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation when Christ comes back to rule the world. And number two there. Satan is locked up in a bottomless pit at the end of the tribulation. Only believers go into the millennium. And no one can claim during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, well, Satan deceived me, because Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. You see, he's free today. He could be here this morning. He's got little demons. They're spirits, but you can't see them. He could be sitting right beside you. Don't look at your wife. One guy says, "Do you believe in the devil?" He says, "I sure do." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because I married his sister." Revelation 20, verse 10. Satan is loose for a little while and then cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false prophet are still existing in that lake of fire after 1,000 years. Hell is forever. The next scripture here, letter F. How long were the people in Sodom and Gomorrah in the place of torment in Sheol? Because God brought judgment. Those people died. And those people were placed in a place called hell. And so he says here in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner given themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of what kind of fire? Eternal fire. Now that's what the Bible says. So does anybody need a Savior? Well, the whole world needs a Savior. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2. You probably have no clue what verses I'm going to look at. How many of you think you know what verses I'm going to look at? Raise your hand. That's half of you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You got it? Look at it. And notice what he says. For by grace are you saved. Now, evidently, somebody needs to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? This place called hell. The final lake of fire. Because see, if that doesn't exist, then what do I need to be saved from? Nothingness? Did you know that 78 years ago, I wasn't here. You didn't know that. I don't recall anything. I didn't know anything. But lo and behold, I was born. And because I was so valuable, Japan started a whole war to try to get me. And America says, you can't have them. So they started the Second World War. But anyway. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through your works. Through faith. Faith in what? You got to have faith. Faith in what? Evidently, you got to have faith in what somebody else does. If it's not by, look at the last part of the verse. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Think of how many people are trying to earn their way to heaven by how good they are, thinking that their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds, and therefore they'll escape hell. How you live your life has nothing to do with your destination. And this is what blows people's mind. They can't believe it. They can't believe all these bad people, and there's all these good people, and these bad people, they can trust Christ and go to heaven, and these good people, if they don't trust Christ, they go to hell. That ain't fair. No, God says, there is none good. There's none good. Nobody's perfect. Only one. And so that's why everybody sins. Everybody is condemned. And that includes the whole world. So the only hope we have is that somebody who loves us will make a way. And that's what Jesus Christ did. See the very next verse, verse 9, when he says, not of what? Works. You see, if God wanted to really be mean and nasty with us, he could have said, you've got to earn your way to heaven by being good. And that totally takes out all possibility. Why? Nobody's good. There is none good, no, not one. None righteous, not one. Everybody has sinned against God. And God does not allow one sin into heaven. Adam and Eve, one sin, they got kicked out of the garden. One sin. So if Christ died on that cross and paid for all of my sins but one, he didn't do me any favors. So either he paid for all of my sins or he didn't need to pay for any of them. I'm so glad that going to heaven is free. It's free. Missing hell is free. I can miss it and it won't cost me anything. And all I had to do was believe that what Christ did, he did it for me. Let me show you something. Because see, I always believed it might be one person watching by internet. One person down the road may watch this sermon on YouTube. One person sitting here might explain to somebody else that I've never seen. And one person may just pull out their wallet. You say, but what if I don't have a wallet? Well, anything in a woman's purse can be used for sin. You can use your shoe. You can use anything. I never tell people, never use a piece of paper to represent sin. Because if you're nervous at all, if you have any fear of witnessing anybody, that piece of paper will drive you nuts. So use something nice, good, and solid. And everybody likes the wallet because they just know you're fixing to give them something. And they'll watch it as long as they see the wallet. But you're going to fool them. That's why it's called a wallet trick. You thought you were going to get something, and you didn't. Now look up here. This is you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. He hates our sin. But since we committed the sin, we have to pay for it. And the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from the presence of God. But God loves us. He doesn't want us to go to hell. But God is a just God, a holy God, and he must punish sin. His law demands perfection, and we're not. So we are guilty, we have to pay. But to go to heaven, you have to be perfect, as righteous as God, no sin. And there's our problem. And God says, by your good works, it'll never pay for sin. All the good works you could do from the time you're born to the time you die will not pay for one sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You have to die. It's the only way. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into this world because he loves us. Now he hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, because of his love for us and his hatred for sin, he didn't have to die. But he took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross. He came back from the dead. Says the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is believe he did it for you. Here's all these people in this whole world. And they all have sinned against God. So Christ died and paid for all the sins of all the world. And he says, the only thing you have to do is, will you believe I did this for you? And when you believe that he did it for you, he puts this payment to your account. You see, 59 years ago, I believed that. He put that payment to my account. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I don't have any sins to pay for. The only reason I can know I'm going to heaven is because I know I can't go to hell. I don't have any sins to pay for. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven, because Christ died for my sins. And when you believe it, he put that payment to your account. So if I was to ask you, where are you going when you die? You say, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Christ died and paid for my sins. It's not because you went to church. It's not because you changed your life. It's not because you sung in the choir and you became a deacon or an elder or whatever. You're going to heaven because you trusted Christ as your Savior. This is the only reason you'll go to heaven. And whenever you believe that, he said, he gives you as a free gift everlasting life. Life that lasts forever. And he'll never cast you out, never lose you. I couldn't go to hell if I tried. Why? There's no sin for me to pay for it. You say, well, what about if you died today? All paid. What if you die tomorrow? They're all paid. What about 100 years from now? All paid. How many of my sins did he pay for? And people can't believe it, because that is so magnificent. That is so awesome. That it's hard for people to believe it's that easy. That's all I have to do. That's all you can do. If you can't earn it, how else are you going to get it? Is this worth telling people about? Now, we can bury ourselves in the entanglement of this life and never be a good soldier to tell people about it. Now, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, I urge you to do so. And I pray that you will. Let's have prayer, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here in this moment, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. I'm not going to have you forward, not going to embarrass you, but right where you're sitting, will you trust Christ today as your Savior, as your only hope of going to heaven? If you've already done it, you'd never have to do it again. But if you've never done it, never made sure, would you right now say, preacher, that made sense to me. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And yes, right now, I trust Christ as my Savior. And if you'll let me know, I'd appreciate it. Just slip your hand up very quickly, put it right back down. Just real quick. Slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anyone at all? If you're watching by internet, right on the screen says, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. I pray that you would. Father, we thank you again for this time together. Thank you for your word. And help us to be burdened for the natural light that we have yet to live, that we would have this always burning in our minds. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. If you want to know, you fellows can come on down, what the Lord's Supper is about, the communion service is about, the bread, his body, the juice, his death. He gave his blood so that we could have eternal life. He did this so that we could have eternal life. Christ came into the world and took our sins upon his body, shed his blood so that you and I could have the free gift of everlasting life. That's why every time we do this, we ought to remember what he saved us from, what he saved us from, and what he saved us to. To an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the faith in the Son of God because of what he did on the cross for us.